There's two types of boredom. Now, one of them is meaningless, but the other one will literally suck the life out of you. I'm Darren Steele, and I empower queer creatives and thought leaders to make a difference in the world. And I do that with neuroscientific-based transformational coaching to help you become more skillful at what you do so that you can make a difference in the lives of other LGBTQ people and for the common humanity. Now, in today's episode, what I want to share with you is an ideation. And ideation means coming up with an idea or a concept. And ideation can lead to something great, to something that you can sink your teeth into, to, you know, maybe it's going to be a new project or a book title or a solution to a major problem at work. But it's also a process, because I use IDEA as an acronym, IDEA. So I, for me, stands for insight. And when you really get clear, when you get clarity and you get focus about, you know, what's troubling you, what's bothering you, or how do you find your way around a problem, that is when you get your direction. That is your strategy or your solutions or the actions that you're going to put in place so that you can get on the path towards your goal. And finally, the EA in IDEA is emotional alignment, because when we feel, when we emotionally connect with what it is that we most want to do, or when we emotionally connect with a habit or behavior that we want to create to simply make our lives better, that gives us the energy. That gives us the motivation to move forward to make that change. All right, so the title of today's episode is Three Simple Self-Actualization Questions That Connect You to Your True Purpose. And I'm going to talk about why boredom leads to an unhappy, unfulfilled, and unhealthy life, and what you can do about it. So I opened up by saying that there were two types of boredom, one being meaningless and the other one that'll suck the life right out of you. Now, the meaningless one, maybe it's just a result of being overly distracted. You wind up after a hard day, slouching on the couch. You flicked on the television or Netflix or whatever. You're mindlessly flipping through channels, or maybe it's kind of on in the background and you're on your phone and you're scrolling. You're on TikTok, you're on Grindr, you're on Facebook. I don't know. But as your eyes begin to glaze over because you've just been looking at too many screens, you think to yourself, I'm bored. I want pizza. What should I do? God, I don't know. How did I get here? Now, if that's a rare occurrence for you, that's fine. You've just found yourself in this mind-numbing moment of all these external distractions, your phone, the television, whatever. That's not going to really hurt you. Every once in a while, we do need to completely collapse. We might just be too tired to do something playful or fun and, you know, just joyful and engaging, because we may have had a really hard day. But, and here's the big however, the other boredom is one that is habitual and it's purposeless. It lacks meaning. And that's what sucks the life out of you. Now, that kind of boredom also, or is often, I should say, the result of procrastination. And procrastination is repeatedly doing something meaningless to avoid taking action and facing your fears about why you're bored in the first place. Now, that might sound harsh, and it's not a judgment. We all do it. And, you know, once in a while, we have to tell the truth for what it is so that, you know, we get a fire under our ass and we'll make a difference. Procrastinum, the merging of procrastination and boredom into one word, and I'm just making that up, leads to frustration. And this is the really awful state of feeling upset and annoyed at your inability to change or accomplish anything. And worst case scenario, you just wind up not doing anything at all. So the question is, are you bored once in a while, or are you bored all of the time? I mean, if you're bored all of the time, you're probably not watching this video, but maybe you are. And I've experienced this. Who do you know who's experienced this? When have you been bored for prolonged periods of time in your own life? Now, each time when I realized that I was bored for more than just like one day or one evening, it was a sign that I needed to look inside of myself and get clear about what was going on and get clear about what I was feeling. Because it was most likely feelings that I didn't want to face. And it may have been a thing or a situation or a person, but it was the feelings around that thing, that situation or a person that I didn't want to deal with. So I was procrastinating. And because it was so important and meaningful to my life, that procrastination took me out of being into a place where I could not only just make meaningful changes, but take meaningful action. So what this has often meant, and what I believe this is often the case for many people, is that when that happens, you're not in alignment with your purpose or your mission in life, and that you need to actually look at what is your purpose? Does it need to be refined? And do you need to realign with what that means to you? Because as human beings, as we get older, as we evolve, as we move into one city from another, as we change relationships, often our purpose will change. And if we don't consciously focus on what the old purpose was and what we want our new purpose to mean so that we know it, so that we can connect with it, we might feel out of alignment. So just a quick note that our purpose, our values, and our beliefs can and probably should change over time. Now, if you're stuck in values and beliefs and purposes for your entire life, you're probably going to wind up being bored because you're always going to be following this very same path without any deviation, no allowance for anything off the path that you're on, no diversions off the beaten path, as the expression goes. That's probably a little bit more of a fundamentalist, dare I say, dogmatic or idiomatic kind of approach to living. There may be some restrictions that you're allowing yourself to be controlled by. So let's get into the questions. And this is the ideation, not so much as a process, but the result of getting that clear idea, getting that clear insight so that you can get back on the path for your direction to where you want to go with connection, with feeling, with emotional alignment. So these are three deceptively simple self-actualization questions. And this will get you to the surface of your passion so that you'll get a sense of it. And you will need to do an exercise to really mine the depths of your purpose to make all of these things connect and be cohesive. So I'm going to read the three questions to you, and I would invite you to then pause the video, get out a pen and piece of paper, or type in a Word document the answers to these questions. First one, what do I want to do with the time I have on this planet? Second, what must I do so that I will feel fulfilled? And third, what makes you feel energized, motivated, passionate, and happy? Let me talk briefly about each question. What do I want to do with the time I have on this planet? Well, if you say, well, I just want to have a good time, I want to be happy. Okay. Now I roll my eyes a little bit because I think, well, that nothing wrong with that per se. But is there anything that you feel you really want to do? It's a desire. It might be more like a goal, a dream, something that you really want to accomplish in life, but there's some sort of drive in you that makes you want to get there. And think perhaps about just like, what's the one thing that I really want to do with the time that I have on this planet? Second one, what must I do so that I will feel fulfilled? You see, it's kind of close to that first question, right? But it's a little bit more of a refinement because what must I do has a sense of should, but not in the sense of somebody else telling you, you should do this, more of a personal obligation, personal responsibility, maybe your own personal ethics or beliefs and values that are driving the must. I must do this so I feel fulfilled. For myself, it's writing about what I know about coaching and connecting that with helping people think more critically. And for myself, my own personal evolution about reading the Tao Te Ching and thinking about aspects of philosophy and morality, I need to do these things. I must do these things to feel fulfilled. Okay. These are day to day or a couple times a week sort of things that if I don't do them, I start feeling out of sorts and out of alignment. The third question, what makes you feel energized, motivated, passionate, and happy? That could be a list of things. That could be people, that could be things, that could be environments. Maybe it's a particular part of your house. Maybe it's a cottage or going camping. Maybe it's a country that you love to visit. Maybe it's music that you love to listen to, or maybe it's painting or riding your bike. It's one of many things, but those give you energy. These actions make you feel motivated. These people or emotions you feel create passion in you, and all those things combined lead to happiness. So you can see how these things will influence each other, questions 1, 2, and 3. Okay, stop the video, write down the questions, and take some time to answer. Because what I'm going to share with you now is just more information, but it's really useful to understand what to do with your answers. Okay, did you do the questions? I know, I hate it when somebody on the other side of the video is like, did you stop the video and do the questions? But hey, I'm the coach and you're watching this, so why wouldn't you want to do these questions? Okay, here we go. Now the bad news. The bad news. These three questions on their own just aren't enough. They're really good. Don't get me wrong. I came up with these questions, right? But what you're going to discover with your answers and what these answers will demonstrate is that there's an intersection of your wants, your needs, and your aspirations. And all of these are connected to a very deep sense of emotional alignment or emotional resonance or an emotional driver, that oomph that makes you want to live and explore in life and be curious. So let's do some word geekery, the meaning of the word emotion. And I won't go too long into this, but it's really useful. And if you want, check out the show notes, because it'll take you to a couple of links that if you want to read this scientific research a little bit more, you can. I did the geek out work. I'm just going to give you the Cole's notes. What does emotion mean for dummies kind of thing? I'm not calling you a dummy. Anyway, so emotion, etymologically, the history of the word comes from the Latin verb emovere, and that means to move out, to remove, to agitate. But the root of the word, it's a, or the letter E, movere, and movere just means to move. Now, we experience our emotions on a physical level. Now, when you read examples, or when you'll hear the examples of what I'm just going to tell you in a moment of different emotions, think about how you've actually felt or moved into expressing those emotions. I'll give you a hint. Have you ever felt love? Oh, what does it do? Maybe it like makes you breathe different, your posture changes, or your eyes flutter, or you feel like you have tingles on your skin. That's a physical response to emotion. That's the emovere. Okay. Now, from a neuroscience or a neurobiological standpoint, emotions are what are called action programs. And that's literally the software that's going on at different parts of our brains and in our cells that keeps us alive, that keeps us safe, that keeps us on the lookout for different things. Because emotions are telling us what's going on in the inside of our body, but also what's happening outside of us and how we should respond. And these emotions that are action programs include what are called drives and feelings. So let me explain these key words. A drive is associated with instinctual physiological needs like hunger, thirst, libido, exploration and play, care of your offspring, and attachment to your partner, your loved ones, your family. Okay. So I didn't bring any water. I'm getting a dry mouth right now. And so I'm having a drive that's telling me, your mouth is dry. Your tongue is getting dry. If you keep doing this, you might not be able to enunciate very well recording this video. That's a drive telling me that not so much that I have a thirst, but I need to put some liquid into my mouth to cleanse and lubricate my palate. So feelings, and this is the thing, there's an overlap between what these words mean. Feelings are mental experiences associated with physical states. So the feelings that we experience in our mind is a perception of what's happening in our body. Okay. So when you say, I feel hungry, that's the intellectual or the mental abstraction that's allowing me to say in words is like, I feel hungry. What you're actually saying is, oh, something in my body, probably your stomach is gurgling. Certain hormones are signaling that are going up to the brain that signals the brain to have the feeling, to sense the feeling that it's hungry. Okay. Finally, emotions are action programs. I've already said this already, action programs, right? And they are triggered by external factors, which can be in real time. You walk into a restaurant and you see somebody you haven't seen for 2 years, like, oh my God, how are you? Right? So that's an emotion. And that goes back to attachment to people that you care about. Okay. That's the drive, but can also be a memory. So that's why people that maybe have extreme depression or gay shame or PTSD can think about past events and start to feel all those emotional drives and be drawn downward into anxiety, for example. So some examples of emotions as action action programs triggered by external factors are disgust. That could be just putting something in your mouth and you're like, that's disgusting because it tastes so bad or it's gone rotten, or you see somebody who you think is a reprehensible human being. You're disgusted by them. Fear, anger, sadness, joy, shame, contempt, pride, compassion, and admiration. Okay. So what drives you moves you, right? Action program, drivers, emotions, movement. What drives you moves you. So if you know what you're passionate about, if you know what you want to do, what you need to do, and what powerful emotional states and feelings that brings to you, that's going to move you into action along the path of the direction that you want to take in life. Okay. So I've already said this, if you're hungry, you're going to be moved. You're going to be motivated to find something to eat. If you're deeply passionate about doing certain kinds of work, like writing a novel, painting, volunteering at an LGBTQ refuge organization, learning about history, you'll be easily moved and self-motivated to do that work. And the more that you have connected your work or your passion project with a core emotional drive, the more powerful the associated feelings and emotions that you will have. And this is why passion has a very strong association with your purpose. People call things a passion project, for example. It may also be called a purposeful project, because passion is an intense drive. And I'm extrapolating here, but I think passion could be associated with exploration. And it's an excitement for something. So if you're not passionate about your purpose, it's not going to be something that you invest any time in doing. And what's going to happen? You're going to be bored. You're going to wind up being distracted. Pizza, you know, squirrel. It's So to fully integrate your answers for the three self-actualization questions with your purpose, you're going to really need to dig deeper into knowing what you stand for in life. And you'll need to get clarity in the areas of your life that support a meaningful and fulfilling purpose. And this includes knowing your core desired emotions. I've talked about this, and I'll provide the link in the article to know what your most desired emotions are so that you don't go into the red line. I call this process emotional recipes. You also need to know your core values and your beliefs. What do you believe to be true about certain things in your life, like success or money or relationships or love, for example? Each of these aspects should intersect with your purpose to give it a solid foundation. I'm hungry. To give it a solid foundation, especially when the work you're doing gets challenging, because anything that we're probably really passionate about, that maybe we're investing our lives in doing, or we've made it our full-time work, or if your passion is a hobby, but you hit a roadblock, or you know, you've written what you think is a great novel, but nobody wants to publish it. How do you keep going? That's going to really depend on the strength of your passion, the drive behind your purpose for that project, that thing you've committed to doing. All right. So wrapping up here, when you know what grounds you, meaning when you know what you stand for in life, that creates more prediction. And you can call prediction a sense of certainty or control if you want, if those are words you prefer. And think of it in the sense of your purpose acting as the true north, like on a compass for the direction that you want to take in life. And these things help you to skillfully respond to everything that shows up in your day-to-day life with an inner strength of purpose or commitment or certainty, just to use different words, so that you can actually have an influence or an impact on what's happening in your life by making conscious choices that are in alignment with your purpose, your values, your beliefs, so that you don't have to be an innocent bystander or bored, completely distracted. So when you know what's most meaningful to you in your life and what's most important to you, that's when you feel fulfilled. And that's a kind of self-mastery over your choices and your actions, because they will be in alignment with your values, your beliefs, your desired emotional states, and your purpose. Okay. I hope you've enjoyed this episode today. And if you want to get some help getting more clarity to define your purpose so that you can enjoy more out of life, well, again, that link is below. If you're a queer creative or a thought leader who wants to become more skillful at what you do so that you can make a meaningful difference in the world, let's have an ideation discovery session. It's free. I will give you the link so that you can head over to my website, answer a few questions so I can be prepared to know how I can help you. And I look forward to meeting you sometime soon. Thanks for watching. If you have enjoyed this video, please like it, share it, and make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. Bye for now.